Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome into the Locked On Cavs podcast. My name is Carter Rodriguez. I'm guest hosting for Chris Manning today. We're going to be previewing the Pistons game with a coworker of mine, Mike Kruser, one of the smartest basketball people I know. So we talked a little bit about the Cavs' upcoming matchup with the Pistons and where Detroit stands with the rest of the league overall. Hope you enjoy.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Let's welcome Mike Kruser into the Locked On podcast. Mike, how are you doing today?
Great. Happy to be here.
Oh, wow. That's great to have a really good positive energy to start off. So let's talk about the Cavaliers' Friday night matchup with the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are 6-6 on the season. They've won two of their last three, but they just lost to the Porzingis God and the New York Knicks. So let's just dive right into it, Mike, and just talk about three things to watch. And I want to start off with talking about LeBron James against two guys he is just not a big fan of, Tobias Harris and Stanley Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, it's the playoff beef is there. I mean, Stanley Johnson just wrote an article in the Players Tribune, I'm sure, all on his own.
And I'm sure LeBron read it.
Yeah, absolutely. As someone in LeBron's camp.
Did you see the Stanley Johnson, because he had another Players Tribune piece, right? Mm-hmm. Like right after he like talked trash to LeBron in the playoffs and was like, I'm glad I did it. Yeah, glad I did it. It's like, I wonder if LeBron was like, who are you? Like, what a weird thing.
I mean, this piece itself wasn't focused on his trash talk to LeBron, but he did talk about the mind games and the mental aspect that he worked on over the summer and how Stan Van's dedication really, really inspired him. But first of all, Stanley Johnson's a non-factor.
Like, he's completely irrelevant to this team right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird the way he gets, like, hyped up. Because to me, he's a guy who can't really shoot. Mm-hmm. He can't reliably create his own shot. So he's just, like, another, like, big NBA body. Like, sure, he's, like, get an NBA-ready body as a rookie and, like, did an admirable job on LeBron. But, like, I don't understand where the hype comes for him.
He's averaging 16 minutes a game. He's taking two shots more than Aaron Baines is on this team, so he's getting the same offensive opportunity as
the guy we thought was just going to get squeezed out of the rotation in the first place. Yeah. With the worst hair in the NBA.
That's a hotly contested. That's another podcast. I don't know if we can declare anyone.
I think it's pretty obvious. He looks like a monk.
Yeah, I mean, the one exciting thing is I kind of hope that this gives you motivated LeBron, right? Like,
yeah.
In terms of the games that, how much he honestly has to play for game to game. He rested.
Minimal. It's minimal.
Exactly. So if this kind of bullshit beef is...
Please no swearing on the podcast. You have a lot of... Yeah. Come on, man. This isn't even technically my podcast.
You didn't set the rules ahead of time, so yeah. I think that one, fair game.
I think we'll bleep it out.
Okay,
we won't bleep it out. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
But so if this comes in, whether it's Stanley Johnson on the bench or before the game or just stares at LeBron too long in warm-up lines or something like that, will lead to LeBron coming out on a mission just to remind them that we swept you and you are not remotely in our league. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and like honestly, like he still hasn't forgiven Tobias Harris for talking trash a couple years ago on the Magic when he was in chill mode, and Harris hit a three in his face and started talking trash, and then LeBron just like wrecked him and has just made it his personal life mission to ruin poor Tobias Harris's life ever since. So we've got, like, in terms of, like, roster construction, like, you have to, like, feel really, really good about where the Pistons stand. But, like, in terms of winning the East, collecting a big group of guys who just piss LeBron off, it's not optimal. It's not best practice, I don't think.
You can get people who are maybe in the clutch sport family and, like, you know, bow down to LeBron in the regular season and then just throw at him in the playoffs, surprise him. So he's not catching and chill mode.
You really got to lay in the weeds on this one. Because that's always been interesting to me because I think, like, LeBron has this, you know, he's got this personality. He's not, like, really, like, in the Kobe mold of superstar where, like, oh, he's just, like, everyone knows him as a killer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for some reason that teams try to, like, take him out of his game.
Sure, sure.
By talking to him, but, like, it's the worst thing to do because
let him chill.
Yeah, because, like, one, let him chill, and two, like, if you are looking, like, to, like, pick nits with LeBron, it's that sometimes he thinks too much, right? Like, the Cavs always play at a really slow pace because, like, he just wants to play chess.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to, like, think about every move and, like, and be very cerebral about it. But, like, the best thing that LeBron can do sometimes is just, like, not think, just, like, I'm effing doing this.
I'm athletically superior and a more talented basketball
player. I'm so good. And my instincts are better than your instincts. Yeah. And, like, when you trust those, when you piss them off, it really goes a long way. So we'll see if Tobias and Stanley just keep a little quiet this time.
It's a bad matchup for Tobias Harris in a lot of ways, just because Tobias is a really good athlete and larger than, you know, a lot of players at his position, being 6'9", 235, but, like, he has no athletic advantage in the matchup at all.
Well, I mean, in the playoffs, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure they mostly stuck Marcus Morris on James and then put Tobias on Love, and basically the Cavs' whole strategy was whoever the small guy on Love is, we're gonna get a switch or we're going to pound him in the post. And, like, it just felt like the Pistons, like I don't know if Kevin Love is all, like, the Cavs don't always do a great job of getting Kevin Love's super organic post looks, but, like, he always has a size advantage. And I don't know if you'd read, but Love has added weight this summer for the first time in, like, forever. Like, because he came in and, like, was just
fat.
Yeah, he used to be fat. Yeah, sure. As I mentioned in my interview with him, on purpose, on accident. But, like, he, you know, he had to rehab all last summer, you know, couldn't lift at all. And he's clearly gained some weight, and his post touches are looking a lot more effective. So that's somewhere where they should be able to attack them. But
overall, it's not a great matchup for this team with Ish Smith being their starting point guard right now. I mean, you think, what are they going to do? Are they going to line? Are they going to have Ish Smith guard Kyrie? Like, I can't imagine that's a strategy.
Well, honestly, like, it's funny. So, like, in a lot of ways, it's a terrible matchup. But I think it's mostly a terrible matchup because the Cavs are just super good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think personnel-wise, we saw in the playoffs, like, they swept them. But it was, all four games were, like, pretty tight. I think one game was a blowout, but the other three were pretty tight. So, like, it's weird because, sure, like, Tobias Harris isn't a good matchup for LeBron because LeBron's just better at the stuff Tobias Harris wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they have a lot of 6'7 to 6'8 bodies to throw at LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way. Like, that's, you know, like, it's kind of like a poor man's Warriors in that sense of, like, defensively, like, you can switch a lot.
KCP can be someone that you can move on to Kyrie, but I don't know, but then where does Smith go in this lineup right now? And RJ, I guess that's best because you don't really want to run your offense through RJ from the Cavaliers standpoint.
Yeah.
You're not really going to try.
You mean JR?
Who's going to start? No, who's going to start? RJ's been starting against JR coming back. Because RJ was starting.
Yeah, RJ started against the Raptors. I think JR should. I've heard he might be back.
Okay.
But that we're recording on a Thursday for those that are wondering. So if this is coming out on Friday. So if news comes out, don't come at me. But I think since he's missed three games, I think the expectation is that he's getting close to being back.
That would be, I mean, that, again, I think that exacerbates that matchup. But, you know, like, speaking of, like, the matchups and how they're going to do this in terms of how does this, will we see more of a stretch five from the Cavaliers with space and Drummond off the floor, or will they just stick with Thompson and Love and...
Yeah, it's really interesting because Thompson, like, this isn't, like, a team for Thompson. Teams with, like, really big athletic rebounders. Like, I guess to some extent it is because he does a good job keeping them off the boards. I think the playoff series last year, Drummond only averaged like 7.5 rebounds a game, which is like an enormous win for you if that's what he's putting up. But at the same time, it did feel like when Tyronn Lue went to the Kevin Love at the five lineups, that's kind of when the tenor of the series changed. Or it was like, okay, Drummond is not going to get to roam in the paint, which, I mean, he's not historically been an unbelievable defender, right? But, the Pistons are up to fifth in defensive rating this year, so maybe they're starting to figure it out on that end a little bit. But drawing him out of the paint seems to be preferable to, like, because he also can't get a lot of boards when he's standing out at the top of the three-point arc with Channing Frye, right?
I mean, one interesting thing right now is that rebounding has been an area that the Pistons have struggled this year. Like, last year they were top three in offensive rebounding rate and defensive rebounding rate. Right now, according to ESPN, they're 22nd in offensive rebounding rate. And defensive rebounding rate, they're in a similar space, they're 22nd as well. So it's, you know, like, traditionally, I think that's probably the case. I wonder if there's something specific about the way the Pistons are playing this year that maybe Thompson is going to have an opportunity to get on the glass, because Noah freaking crushed them on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, could it be a matter of they're kind of new additions? I know Boban is in their rotation, right? He doesn't get a ton of, like, out-of-area rebounds. I guess he's not really in the rotation too much. Why did they spend so much money on him? What a weird decision.
So much money in him and Baines.
But that's and Lure.
Yeah, and Lure. That's what last night, I saw some quotes from Stan Vance. You know, Aaron Baines only had two rebounds, one defensive, one offensive. And so it was Lure who played the end of the fourth quarter because he was a better rebounder at that point. But that's true. Aaron Baines isn't getting rebounds. Like, what is he doing for you?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know. It's a really weird team. And something that I've kind of noticed with, like, Marcus Morris is, like, he's their nominal power forward, or Harris.
Yeah.
Neither of those guys get more than 5 boards a game.
Yeah.
That's really hard. And, like, you know, that's when people talk about going small ball. Like, sure, you get an extra spacing advantage. You get, you know, maybe a bit more switchability. But, like that's something that when you go small ball, and, like, I know, you know, both those guys are like 6'8", but still, like, they're not traditional power forwards, I would say.
Yeah.
When you do that,
rebounding is still.
Yeah, I mean, and you're sacrificing that in most lineups. And that's why, like, LeBron at the four is, like, so freaking devastating, right? Yeah. Because he's a plus rebounder as a four, even. But, like, when you have Drummond who gets 14 boards a game and then no one else gets more than 7, that doesn't make sense. And I wonder if, you know, even someone like Ersan Ilyasova, who's not by any means, you know, the first half of the year, he's not any means of a rebounding wizard, but, like, just having that extra size, and maybe that's where they're hurting this year on the boards. I don't know. It's a really interesting team. And
yeah, I'm really interested to see what, you know, obviously being a regular season matchup, I don't know that Tyronn Lue is going to look to really game plan around maybe the specifics of this team. I mean, maybe we see more stretch five, but maybe because of the way that the Pistons have been struggling rebounding, you don't come in here expecting, oh, they're a good rebounding team because they have Drummond, and you look at the numbers and you say, you know, Tristan's going to have an opportunity because teams have been able to hit the offensive glass.
And Love, you know, like, both these guys. And I will say, one of the things that makes Love at the five, what made it so effective in the postseason, is you had playoff LeBron, playing the four. Like, we're getting regular season LeBron playing the three, unless Tobias and Stanley really piss him off.
Yeah.
I think, like there's a matter of, like, it's kind of that same engagement I was talking about. Like, when you go small, everyone has to really commit to, like, crashing the board super hard. So if you don't have fully engaged LeBron, maybe it's better to go with your stock lineup. And obviously, like, Channing Frye is their third big. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, he's going to be a factor in the Cavs game plan against literally everyone except probably the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because he's just part of the team. Like, you don't blow up your whole rotation in the regular season, right?
And when you're talking about it, it's exciting to see how this, you know, juggernaut Cavs offense looks against what statistically has been a really strong defense in the first half, and does, like, to your point, have wing athletes that maybe can track with these guys. Let's see, does that, you know, Channing Frye effect, which you wrote about, you know, continue with...
Nice plug.
Yeah. Check that out, I'm pretty sorry. But I don't even work for them. But it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that defense-offense matchup works out. This could represent Even though we are breaking down all these areas that they don't match up to very well, and to your point, mostly it's because the Cavs are really good and the Pistons are middle of the pack.
Yeah, luckily for the Cavs, no one really matches up well because they're too much better.
But let's see if this, Sam Van Gundy's going to have him playing super hard, at all times. They're always going to be locked in. And with that effort level and the athletes that they have, it'll be interesting to see, how much the Cavs are able to break down this statistically good defense in the first 11 games of the season.
It's interesting with them sitting.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.
6-6, you just kind of wonder how, where does this team really, stack up in the big grand picture? I know some people were just insanely super high on them, second in the East, kind of high. And then, some people were they were big believers in the Celtics, the Pacers, the Raptors, had a more, kind of where they were the 8th seed last year, maybe, up a couple seats to 6 or 7. Where do you think they eventually settle in, and how they're at 500 right now? How much, where do they end up, especially once they get Reggie Jackson back?
Yeah, Reggie Jackson, Stan had quotes yesterday saying the earliest he'd come back would be next week. That'd be the 6 week mark of the 6 to 8 week timetable. He's back in nine contact drills. You get Reggie Jackson back, and I understand the optimism, right? You look at their starting lineup. KCP is 23, Tobias Harris 24, Marcus Morris 27, Drummond 23, and then you'll get Reggie Jackson back in there and makes which pushes Ish Smith as a capable backup point guard.
Yeah, instead of Beno Udrich getting 17 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point, because I think what we're starting to learn in the modern NBA, and this is something David Zabak, editor for The Sword, always it's something he just beats into the ground. It's you can't have non-functional players.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have guys that aren't good anymore. Those guys will kill you. An example is going into the Warriors game against the Blazers, the Warriors starting five had a net rating of 0 because Zaza has just been so bad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how good the other four guys out there are when you have a player that's bad. So, you see Beno Udrich, that guy's going to be completely out of the rotation.
Which is great.
And Ish Smith is a pretty freaking, he'll be probably a top five backup point guard in the league, right?
Yeah. He's definitely right there on the edge. He can be a starter for a lot of teams, obviously. When you're talking about the standings, fifth seed is not unreasonable. The Hornets have obviously taken a step forward, and I can see that sustaining. The Celtics are going to...
They should get better
because they're going to get healthy. So, could they compete in that range? I don't really believe in the Bulls in the long term.
No, you would think that's going to drop off.
So, as you're saying, an improvement to the 6 seed, that's a win. The 5 seed would be, if they get to the 5 seed, they're beating out the Hornets, Raptors, Hawks, or Celtics for a spot. And those are really quality constructed rosters, but to get into the top four, I don't see the same with the talent.
I think that
because they have development in front of them, absolutely.
I think it's everyone makes the parallel, Stan Van Gundy getting a bunch of shooters around a really dynamic five man. But I just think the people that are building this parallel that really believe in this team are Andre Drummond's not as good as Peak Dwight.
And the shooters are there. It's great to call them shooters, but right now, KCP is shooting 35% from three, Tobias 35%, Marcus Morris is under 30%. Smith is shooting 16%, not that he's ever really been a 3-point shooter. And as a team, they're only taking...
Yeah, it's more nominal shooters than actual shooters. Right. Just because they're wings doesn't mean they're good shooters. That's a good point.
And they're taking just under 23 a game this season, which is 27th in the league. So it's
That's interesting, because it's my understanding that they took a lot more last year. We can pull that up while you make your point. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think that they are very wing heavy. They took 26 a game last season, which was 10.
So that matters. Like in the regular season especially, that really matters. Like the Celtics were not a good 3-point shooting team last year either, but they just put up a ton in the regular season when nobody closes out because the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, that ends up having a real factor. And, like, I guess, like, you look at it almost from the perspective of, like, they could get hot. Like, in the playoffs last year, they were really hot. They scorched the Cavs from three.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, like, you know, that's kind of the conversation going around about Devin Booker right now. It's like, you call him a shooter, he looks like a shooter, he's supposed to be a shooter. But what if he's just not that good at three-point shooting? Yeah. You know, what if he's not?
Like, what is he shooting, like, 35, 36%? Yeah, it's, like, not as good as you would hope.
Yeah, yeah. What if he's not a 42% three-point shooter?
Brad Beal was the guy that, like, we've had that with.
And so you look at, you know, KCP, the guy coming to the league that's like, oh, coming out of the SEC, this is what he does, he's great shooting, he's going to be a 3-and-D guy. And it's like, but what if that's just not actually the case.
Like, yeah, like, not everyone gets to shoot 42% from three. It's super hard.
Exactly. Except for Wiggins. Wiggins can shoot
43%. Yeah, I guess. Sure. That, you got a lot of Wiggins haters probably listening to this pod. They're just like, they just hate him because we have to justify. Yeah, exactly, right. We have to be sure to hate him.
I mean, he's never, this year he's shooting 35.9%. That's his career high. Like, he shot 30% last season. So, the Magic model, the idea of, I totally get it, right? Morris fits into that sort of Rashard Lewis four, that level standout on the wing. You know, you have
Harris. God, when you put them next to each other, it's like you really see, like, the deficiencies.
I know, right? It's like
Marcus Morris needs to be as good as Rashard Lewis was for that team.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So it's, you know, obviously, you're going to have teams that play hard when they're stand-in teams, and you can see that because the effort in terms of defense is paying off. Now, maybe that's not happening rebounding as much. We'll see how that plays out, if that normalizes as the season goes along. But offensively, I mean, unless these guys, and they're still young, they definitely could take steps forward. Yeah,
it's a factor.
But I don't, like, right now, they haven't even necessarily shown that level of improvement that you want to see. That's like, oh yeah, oh, I see the Magic. Like, it's just not. It's just,
yeah. If anything, like, if they're going to make up, like, the deficit of, like, quality between those great Magic teams and what we have now, it'll probably have to actually be on the defensive end, because this team's defensive personnel is way better than those Magic teams.
Yeah,
Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis. Like, God, how transformatively good was Dwight on defense back then? Mm-hmm. If he was able to pull Jameer Nelson, Mikal Piatris, Hedo Turkoglu, Ray for Alston, Rashard Lewis, like, not a lot of defensive personnel. I'm like, I think if Drummond, and I'd like to take a closer look at Drummond next, like, if I feel like he has to take a defensive leap for this team to really, like, hit their ceiling.
And he's not a, I mean, he, again, he's, it's one of those where it's like, he has the body, he has the size, he has, you know, just the eye test, like, okay, this guy should be a good defender, but I don't believe that the statistics have been, that he's not Dwight. That was the point, right? Like, offensively, because he has that kind of gravity in the pick and roll.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, he can use that same sort of play, but he's never averaged two blocks a game. And not that blocks are everything. I don't have his opponent field goal percentage at the rim right in front of me, but I just, you know, it is interesting. I wonder how much his start to this season is affected by not having Reggie Jackson. Is he scoring less? He's rebounding less. He's shooting, he's a little under a field goal attempt for being down from last season. He's playing 2 minutes fewer, but, you know, what is, does Reggie Jackson affect that, or is he not taking a step forward?
I don't know. I think to some extent, like, Reggie Jackson can be a bit of a punching bag, like, on Twitter and stuff, like, dominates the ball way too much, and he's probably not, like, honestly, he's probably just not good enough, like, to, like, get the Pistons where they need to go based on his salary and stuff like that, and, like, based on, like, the kind of player he is. But that said, like, he's really important for this team.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really have a lot of shot creators, like, if you really look at it. Like
Tobias will take advantage of a matchup. He's athletic. If he's superior athletic, he'll be able to create something.
Yeah.
Morris can do it potentially if he's got an advantage. But you're not really looking at a guy that's, like, with the ball in their hands, they're going to be able to break down the defense and create some sort of gravity in that aspect.
Yeah, like, and just, like, in terms of, like, they probably have, I feel like they have to work harder for their shots than they'd probably like to. And I'd be interested to see, I'm pulling it up right now, to see Detroit right now is No, they're fourth in turnover rate. I kind of thought that would be a little bit higher, you know, like having to pass a little more because, like, so, I mean, they're keeping turnovers down, but it just feels like a thing where Reggie Jackson, like, and I think a big part about, like, utilizing Andre Drummond is just getting shots up at the rim.
Yeah.
And, like, destabilizing the defense on the way to doing that. Mm. Like, Tristan Thompson's offensive rebounding is probably, like, half as much if every time LeBron puts up a layup, three guys are there trying to test it.
There's not some sort of movement that gets them out of position.
Yeah. So I mean, and even though Jackson has his warts, I think maybe he's letting Drummond down a little bit. But
and as a pick and roll, just a pick and roll ball handler, he's going to have...
He sucks people in.
Yes, absolutely. He's gonna, his ability to, his speed in that sense is going to do more than KCP, than Fishman. You know, that's just going to be the case, which is going to create those lob opportunities that you're going to see in the highlight, yes. But it's an interesting... The one benefit we'll see, obviously the thing to always watch with Drummond is can he become a reasonable free throw shooter to stay on the floor? And the early returns is that he's shooting 52%, which is...
Like, that's now survivable.
Yeah, that's way... He was taking a lot less. Last season, he took 7 free throws a game. He shot 35%. Right now, he's taking 4.6, and he's shooting 52. So, you know, we're at an early enough point that could be noise, and that could normalize the...
But it's closer to not being noise than it is, like, where it's not like 2 games done. And, like, you know, when you're shooting 38% from the line, that's what, like, 7.3 points per... possession?
Yeah.
Or 0.73 points per possession. That's... And, like, now you're getting up to, like, 1.2 points per possession. And that's, like, an enormous difference. Like, now it's, like, that's, like, a good 2-point jumper now. Like, like a decent, you know, a decent, like, mid-range shooter.
It's not a slam dunk of a situation, but it's like, oh, let's put that guy in the foul.
Yeah, but, like, he'll probably at least get one. Like, that's, like, devastatingly different.
I'd rather see Marcus Morris jack up that long, too.
Yeah.
That's not that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because... I think we're at the point where we can just acknowledge he's never going to be a good post player, right?
That's interesting.
Like, he can't do it. He doesn't have he doesn't have the requisite touch. He doesn't have the footwork. It was hilarious when they put Kevin Love on him in the playoffs last year, and Love's a better post defender than people think, but, like, he just can't do it. And he also the Cavs made an adjustment in the playoffs last year where they started. Trapping the pick and roll really hard and making him make plays out of the short roll.
Yeah.
And he can't do that either.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you can't shoot free throws, you can't make plays out of the short roll, and you can't generate your own bucket. Like, now you're looking at, like, one of the more limited superstars in the league.
Yeah.
And, like, sure, like, I it's not to, you know, trash Drummond because I'm a really big fan of his game, but there is stuff that he's just really got to get better at. That he's too easily, like, you cannot really scheme LeBron out of a game, you know? You can't, and obviously LeBron's not fair. You can't really scheme Paul George out of a game.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you know, like, if we're looking at, like, secondary superstars, not, like, the MVP candidates.
Well, I think, like, I wonder if the guy that he'll kind of be compared to, in some ways, the guy that will become a peer would be Joel Embiid at some point, right?
And you look but at, Embiid like, is better post.
I know. He's a more skilled offensive player, and if he's going to bring something similar defensively or in rebounding, then that's going to be the comp. You know, you look at the guys, Porzingis we just played, Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, these
hyper-skilled
that are this next wave, and Drummond doesn't have that element to his game, which makes it more difficult to build around him, if that's going to be prototypical of what teams are going to, you know, want out of that position in the perfect world.
Like, we have more wartless stars than we probably ever had. Like, guys that just, like, of course you have, like, Harden, who you have to, like, account for his defense, but, like a lot of bad defender. Like, that's not as simple as, like, there's just so many scheme things that you can do to Drummond that can really, like, I mean, he wasn't playing in fourth quarters.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you reconcile that. Like, I know some people are like, ah, yeah, you bring so much value, and, like, you know, you can't, like, you can, like, work around it, but, like, man, like, if you can't even be on the floor, if you can get schemed out of a game with, like relative ease.
Like, that's where, like, that change in caution makes, if that can continue, makes a huge difference. But this is a weird thing.
He's only 23, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So still room to grow.
Super young.
You know, that's one thing that I enjoy it. In last night's game between the Thunder and the Rockets, one of the things I was thinking about was I remember when that Thunder team, when Harden was on the bench and with the trade to the Rockets, it was kind of like, well, you know, what did they really get? Like a sixth man, or, you know, maybe he's, and then with the room to grow, it turns into something else. And just getting older and developing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we like to say a guy, when they're 23, 22, they've been in the league for 3-4 years, oh, this is who they are. And it's like, well, yeah. There's opportunities. Like, if they're willing to work for it and they have the right structure, you look at, that's the benefit of a Stan Van Gundy-led team is
he's going to coach you up.
Yeah. That's you. If you don't develop, that's more likely a lack of talent on your part than it is like a system.
You are in the probably the best incubator you're going to be able to find.
But back to the point, I mean, I will be very curious to see what Tyronn Lue does, how he approaches this game. If he wants to run Tristan a lot, or does he bring that playoff lineup of getting Love at the five and using a stretch five in that sense, like what buttons are they going to press on a Friday in the regular season against the 6-6 Pistons team?
Yeah, and are they going to try? You know, like, this is like always the question. Like, Cavs probably could murder just about every team in the league, but like for the most part, they're going to keep it close because they're going to have spotty effort and they're going to. And I talked about it in the Pacers recap podcast where. Lou is clearly in experimentation mode. He didn't play Love or Kyrie in a close game against the Pacers until 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he benched them the whole first half and just said, hey, kids, you figure it out.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's kind of cool, and it's interesting, and, you know, it leaves open. He's clearly cares about the long game, and he's not above losing a game maybe the Cavs shouldn't lose to try something new.
Which is really interesting from the Stan Van Gundy perspective, because so reading quotes from him where he's really anti-resting players. Like,
yeah,
his big thing is, like, my job is to win every single game. Like, that's my job. Like, that's what I'm trying to do here. Whereas, you know, it's funny that it's from a, you know, that's not how coaches operate. That's not how this league operates.
Which is funny. It's a very old school mentality.
Yeah.
For a guy who's very new school in his mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who's, like, you know, super, like, aware on social issues.
Yeah. Respect to the not pissing off LeBron thing. Maybe that's Stan Van's whole philosophy where it's like, posse, why don't you use that word?
Yeah. I've used it. I'm mad. And I'm sorry. You know, he's very much watching him. Yeah. He gets it. His players don't get it yet, but Stan does. Gets the long game.
He's understanding. Like, let's do nothing to piss LeBron off.
Yeah. Let's just leave him be. How's that sound? I remember he actually said something about, like, talking to Stanley Johnson after that. Like, the trash talk game, like, hey man, what are you doing?
You're just making our life harder.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that'll about wrap it up. Cavs play the Pistons on Friday night. I believe that is a league pass game. If it's not, you can yell at me because I didn't do my research. But I am struggling. I'm a guest host. I'm never going to get asked back. But that, I think we always knew that was going to be the case. It is not a national TV game, so you can see that on League Pass and Fox Sports. The game is at 7:30 Eastern Time, hosting the Detroit Pistons. Mike, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Chris will be back for regularly scheduled Locked On Cavs podcast hosting duties. So you can find him at CWM Writes on Twitter. Mike, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Mike Cruiser. It's a good one. Good luck spelling it. You can figure that out if you're really interested in following me.
There's going to be a description in the pod. I'll spell it wrong just out of spite. And you can find me at Carter Shade. Be sure to send in questions for the mailbag to either me or Chris on lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And that is about all for us today. And go Cavs!
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.